The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with no time limit.
Super Hot Fire!
The greatest spectacle in podcast entertainment, Mr. Nestlemania!
That was literally verbal diarrhea. I'm setting the bar awfully low. Titus O'Neil keeps running directly into that bar. Get him off my TV, get him off my TV. You make me very angry.
The man who has a better IQ than you, the awe-inspiring JC!
You should go work for WWE because you'd be so up far on Vince's
no,
butt.
No, no, no,
oh, you are
no,
such
no,
a
no,
suck
no,
up.
No,
you defend everything, all the bad moves they make.
This is the Jobber Knocker Podcast.
What's up, jobbers, and welcome to the latest edition of the Jobber Knocker Podcast. As the professional almost knocks over his microphone. Jesus Christ.
I did a little sports fashion in celebration of TKO being official now. You know?
I was going to say, you messed up my gimmick here, but always is Nestlemania alongside for the ride as a man who does not need a temporary knockout. Apparently, he just hurt his hand.
I knocked myself out.
What a way to start off the podcast. JC, so before we get into the regular part of the shine and the heat and all that nonsense, it's official today of September 12th, 2023. TKO Holdings is a real thing. UFC and WWE under the same umbrella. They had giant titles on the New York Stock Exchange. You see Vince McMahon doing the Hulk Hogan, give me all the love. And then you see all these like just nerdy white people in the stock exchange doing like TKO. What a wet fart that must have been. But anyway, it's exciting. You are a WWE guy and a UFC guy, so this must be doubly exciting for you.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, it's obviously at the big press conference, everyone together. Nick Khan's got himself freshly $15 million for getting the deal done. I think Triple H got $5 million. So a lot of happy people on that stage because they're a lot of money. But, I mean, the headlines for me were pretty simple. It just I thought it was interesting. I think this is kind of a cool thing of WWE and UFC maybe being in the same city for the same weekends. Like, you know, if like Saturday night's the UFC fight card and maybe Sunday night is a WWE event, it's a way to sell, you know, to some of these bigger cities to really make a spectacle out of it, which I think is an interesting thing. It's something for someone like me. Maybe I make a trip one of these times. I can hit both shows. Wow. Someplace I'd like to go. So it's an interesting thing, but I think it makes sense. There's going to be some crossover. We're going to see it. And one thing that I really thought was interesting was, because this was brought up by Nick Khan and then several others being like, look, at a lot of these UFC fighters, obviously when they get injuries, when their career's over, like there's a bridge now if they're that entertaining and that good that they can jump there. I know Izzy, who just lost his title last week, he's always talked about maybe jumping to WWE. So those doors are kind of open. I know a lot of the times when this happens, people are anti at first, but there are definitely some characters that, I mean, the McGregor thing's always going to be there. I don't know if that'll ever actually happen. But there's definitely people that could happen with that door's open. And Nick Khan was even asked about Mr. CM Punk WrestleMania. And he said the WWE and UFC really appreciate everything he's done. We have a lot of respect from over his career. So not opening a door, not closing the door, but they're willing to talk about it, Nestle. So you know what that means. Some point in time, I think it's happening.
Listen, I the one line about that entire thing that made me giggle like a little schoolgirl was, we appreciate what he tried to do in the UFC. I was like, yikes. But whatever, it is what it is. Again, I would be shocked if they actually pull the trigger on that whole thing. Something I did want to bring up that you did mention very quickly was the Saturday night's UFC and the Sunday WWE event. The one thing I thought was kind of working in WWE's favor, and I'm curious your thoughts on it, was that the Saturday night pay-per-views or PLEs for WWE were really doing a great job and giving you a little bit like, oh, I can relax on Sunday. And I thought they were doing a hell of a lot great business at, you know, going forward the last couple months with these PLEs being on Saturday. So I'm curious your thoughts on it, because for me, I think the Saturday night works, but of course maybe they could be in the same night, Saturday till 10 o'clock, and then 10:30 is the main card of the UFC, just not in the same arena. Obviously.
Yeah, I think that's options too. I actually have always kind of liked Sundays better. I don't know, just not during football season, obviously, because like, you know, like Sunday night this week, I was a little busy watching a 40-0 thumping. Sorry if we have any Giants listeners, but you guys are fucking losers. Oh, that was great. Fair football game ever. But that's beside the point, you know, I just had to bring it up here. But yeah, no, I think that's definitely a possibility. And because I mean, UFC pay-per-views don't start, like you said, till like 10. So if a WWE PLE gets over by then it's fine. And who knows? But it just also would be like also on the arenas too. That's why I'm thinking maybe two different days. But I don't know. For me personally, I enjoy the Sundays. So, but the Saturdays, yes, sometimes it works. Like I think during football season, it works a little better. But the off season for NFL, I like Sundays better personally.
Cool. Special shout out to Justin Del Rio here from Nerds of Wrestling. He cultivated Nerds of Wrestling out of thin air, and he's got like thousands of followers on Facebook here. So he's awesome. Follow all his stuff. And it's a great group in there. So make sure you check out Nerds of Wrestling. So that's a special shout out for Justin.
Nestle, are you ready for the shine, baby?
Yeah, go ahead.
Always in the shine. Mandy Rose, she might be coming back soon.
No. Before we get to that, you forgot the name of the podcast. We're starting. I'm excited. Right. I'm starting, folks, with the best thing that has happened all week. She's not like most girls. She has returned. Nia Jax in the shine right off the bat. Let's do it. I am so excited, JC. And this is where we talk about it right now. We're not waiting any longer. It's a big fucking deal. And I'm excited for it. I know the world wants her to go away. And I could not be more excited to see how this is going to play out, because I think everybody in the WWE is excited to have her. And I think everybody is going to be pissing and moaning on the internet, which is my favorite kind of internet tears. So I'm curious what you originally thought when you heard it, what your thoughts on it are, because my thoughts are this is a huge positive. She's been working hard. She's lost weight. She clearly has worked out with a bunch of different people trying to get, you know, the ring rust off. So I'm excited for her. And honestly, she's already in a number two heel on Raw. So let's fucking go. That division needs a fucking shot in the arm. And look, she was the most talked about topic last night on Twitter. So that's all I got to say about that.
Nia Jax does get the internet's attention. That's for sure. And it was as a lot of people said, it was the fitting end to the Vince McMahon era. I was not expecting to lead the show with Nia Jax today. I mean, putting Nia Jax in the shine, that's a bold move. But WrestleMania, I will say this. I love to hate on Nia Jax like everyone else. My initial reaction was I laughed because I thought it was hilarious. But let me put it this way. And I've talked about this a lot, especially the last month with Rhea Ripley. Is she really doesn't have competition. She's been booked as one of the most dominant female champions we've like ever seen. Obviously, we're coming off Bianca as well. But by the end, it got the same thing. There was no one for her to fight. And for Rhea, there's been no one really for her to fight since the beginning because Becky's kind of been away from her. So you're looking at Raw, and it's just like, oh, she can beat Natalya 50,000 times. But you bring in Nia Jax, she's a threat. And it's one of those things, she's a threat that's probably not going to beat Rhea either. So this is someone that could give Rhea a legitimate win. This is someone that will help Rhea show off her immense power. Obviously, they clearly didn't want Raquel to lose clean because Raquel's someone they're very, very high on in this company and have been. So this is one of those things where they can kick Raquel and Rhea down the road a little more, let Raquel get a little more experience. Raquel also will have her own issues with Nia Jax now. So I think you hit it on the head with them. This was more about adding that depth to the division. And when you have a champion like Rhea, who is such a dominant force, it really does cut out a lot of the competition. So you need someone like Nia Jax, unfortunately. And like you said, yeah, she did look better. I mean, we'll see when we see her actual match what it is. But man, when she dropped herself on Rhea's chest, I was like, oh, geez.
It wasn't even the bonsai drop that I loved. It was the fucking bitch slap afterwards because she couldn't defend herself because she was sitting on her and her arms were underneath there. And all I kept thinking was, man, it was just so great. It was so great. And
great's a word that I don't know if I'd use for it, but
so we have to talk about the elephant in the loom. No, he's a terrible human being. I got to ask you this since he brought it up in the chat, and this is something that everybody says, nobody will have any competition because Nia will hurt everybody. Now, that is the what everybody sees her as. Obviously, I'm gonna kneel to everybody on this one, but I think you've made a joke to me. Literally, it could be a t-shirt at this point. It ain't ballet, Adam. So
it isn't, but with Nia, it just look it, and it's not all her fault. When you get someone who's that much bigger than a lot of her competition, the risk for injury is gonna be a hell of a lot higher. It's just the way it is. It's like when you have some, there's a reason why in other sports. Like divisions exist, like in the UFC, you're not having a heavyweight fighting a fucking flyweight because guess what would happen? That flyweight would be fucking dead. So WWE is obviously a little different because there's just one division. So they're all there. So you have to do things differently. But yeah, I mean, obviously like people call it unsafe, people call it dangerous, whatever. It's the cost of doing business with Nia. And I mean, none of that, she's hopefully has been like continuing to try to make herself better and better to protect people. But yeah, of course that is the risk. I mean, well, that's going to be the joke people are going to make. It's something that she's always going to have to deal with. I know she struggled with, but it just is what it is. Like, the bigger someone is, the more of a chance they are to hurt someone who's smaller than them. That's just the way of life. There's nothing around it. So yeah, that is a concern, but I think Rhea and Raquel will be able to hold their own because they are big, strong women in their own rights.
So. And so that's the other thing too. And this is probably not a popular opinion. I've never been popular anyway, so it's fine. And yeah, I saw the comment.
At least you know it.
But so the other thing too is like, I mean, without Nia Jax, I don't think Becky Lynch becomes the man that she
100%.
Is. 100%. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, you need Nia Jax to catapult other people. Like, not like physically having her throw people, but I mean, like, she is the person to overcome to become a big name. Like,
she's like Big Show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people went over Big Show. That was a big moment for them.
Yeah.
He's a stepping stone.
And I think the other thing, too, is like, when you talk about the injury stuff for me, it's like, okay, like, I hate to bring it up, but like, are some people fragile? Are some people not putting themselves, are they not strong enough to go with that? I don't know. That's what I'm just curious about it because, you know, like in your head, you're going, oh, this person's going to get hurt. This person's going to get hurt. Well, are they like,
there's a common denominator in all those injuries. And it's not that people are fragile. It is what it is.
Listen, all I have to say is
doing business.
I will just say this much. Liv Morgan's out with a shoulder injury, previously injured. I'm just saying there are people who I can see already getting in problems, you know, with her. But there are people who get injured prior to that. So I'm just saying, like,
there's also like 7 torn ACLs in NXT right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying is like they get injured as part of the business.
Yeah. Well, yes. But it's one of those, they happen a little more frequently in these situations, which is why she has stigma. It's a deserved thing, whether it's right or wrong. It's a fact. It is undeniable. There have been more people injured with her than the only one's probably come close is Brie Bella. And we knew she sucked. So
I just don't remember the amount of people she injured. I really don't. So
there was, I think everyone left the Nia Jax match or something. I mean, Becky left with a bloody nose and fame.
Well,
nose.
Yeah.
So but, she should be thanking. She should have went out there and gave Nia Jax a hug and lifted her arm to the crowd being like, this is the person who made me.
Right. But she's not going to get that. She's never going to get her recognition. But anyway,
no, you know who else doesn't get recognition? They deserve WrestleMania is the best heel in wrestling. That is the heat magnet. Dom Mysterio. Oh man, we got a double dose this week. Cause on SmackDown in Boston, which I didn't even know it was in Boston until last week, which is hilarious. Cap was asking me, he's like, you going Friday? I'm like, going to what? I had no idea, but Boston did their job. They booed the shit out of Dom. He got the monster heat. And then on freaking Monday, him and freaking JD McDonagh interrupt Cody, and there was lethal heat there. So all Dom heat for me is always shine. I enjoyed it, but I did like the SmackDown thing, especially. The Brutes got a little rub there going against them. Judgment Day continuing now that they're the champions to rack up some wins, kind of look dominant. But the headline for me is what happened after. We now know the next legit contenders for the Judgment Day, and it is the Street Profits, who came out with Bobby Lashley. And I like this because I'm thinking, you know what? Dominant faction on Raw meeting up with a rising faction on SmackDown makes a lot of sense to me.
Did you guys talk about Waffle House yet? Place is delicious. What the fuck is wrong with him? Honest to God.
Waffle House is great.
You know, I miss IHOP or Denny's. I actually miss Denny's. I ate
Waffle House is better than both those, and it's cheaper too.
Yeah, I have never been to a Waffle House, actually. Now that I can think about it. What?
All the way down, like I'm driving to Florida as a kid, we'd stop at like 3.
I don't think I've ever been to Waffle. I've been to IHOP and I've been to Denny's, but I've never been to a
And then when we went to Big Bruh's bachelor party Waffle House on the way to the airport.
I'm not invited to any of these things. So, you know, probably because everybody wants a good time, you know?
Yeah, that's true too.
I'm a party pooper. So what can I say? That's why we don't invite WrestleMania anywhere. What were we talking about?
The Judgment Day and Dominic Mysterio.
I wanted to bring this up because I talked to Guthrie, who was there. I talked to Ray, who clearly was there. They talked about the fact that Dom's reactions were getting piped in. I'm curious because for me, I didn't notice it. But the one thing I did notice, which they started to do more of, it's been happening the last couple of weeks, is they've been like cutting his microphone to amplify that.
I think that's more what it is. Because I mean, we saw Samantha Duncan on Virgins on Twitter being like, I'm literally there. It's loud. And like, it's one of those things you can tell when stuff's piped in and when stuff's not. Like, the Dominic Mysterio stuff, like it has been like this just consistent, like people just don't like him. Do they maybe turn down his mic and turn up his? Yes, they do that for everyone. Just like you think, look at the LA Night Pops are amazing, but you think at this point they're not turning it up even more to make it even more massive than it already is? That just like, this is fucking tricks of the trade with TV since the beginning of time. So there's always going to be a little bit of that stuff going on. But I mean, the reactions, like they're pretty genuine and real because, dude, the heat that he gets and the pops that LA Knight get, like it's not better than that right now, except for Cody stuff, obviously, too. But that's standard TV practice. They've been doing it with wrestling forever, especially on, I mean, it was worse back in the day when SmackDown was pre-taped. Then they could do whatever they wanted. But I mean,
they probably did it to Austin. They probably did it to The Rock. They, you know what I mean? Like, 100%. But we never even noticed it because we don't care about these things. And it's just, these people come out of the woodwork sometimes.
Virgins. Like, well, when you see someone with the Twitter name Dorby Allen, it's like, well, okay, you currently have an agenda here. You fucking, it's probably some 12-year-old who like, just like, it's just a different type of virgin because they're 12. And it's just like, people react too seriously to what one or two fucking morons say on the internet. It's just like, that could be anyone. That could be someone's 15th Twitter account. And they're just trying to get a rise. But if their name is Dorby Allen, I'm not taking anything seriously of what they say because they're telling me what they are.
Go back to Call of Duty. That's all I ask. Get all the got all the teenagers back on Call of Duty and stay away from Twitter.
I mean, might be on Fortnite if they're even younger. They might
Fortnite, be whatever. Just go play.
Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch are on Fortnite now, so they're really appealing to the wrestling fans.
Delightful. Go play Fortnite then. Don't get into my Twitter feed, please. It says Nestle Meltzer might be the biggest version. Listen. If I'm a virgin, why do I have twins? I'm just combined
you and Meltzer together. That is a pretty terrible combo.
Also, Meltzer has a child too, so neither of us are virgins. So back to you, Mr. Yogi Bear. I'm not even going to say
there's
it.
Different types of virgins.
Not a virgin. Virgin of what? Of a what? Virgin, please. You're
fucking nerd, loser, annoying little twiny, whiny Twitter brat.
You're going to call me something else. I could feel it.
I don't know what I was going to call you. I was just trying to think of words to describe you, and all those came out.
All right. Well, thank you for all that positive feedback, everybody. I'm trying to figure out what else to go on here for good old positivity here. I'm very interested in, this is the part that I really loved on Raw, which was the Jey Uso stuff. Yes. I loved KO coming out. I loved the Judgment Day coming out. I loved the fact that they were trying to make, that they want to recruit Jey to the Judgment Day. And then, of course, the ending was super simple. This whole thing is super simple. But it works and it's so easy. And like you said last week with the idea of Sammy probably getting traded, that's very intriguing to me. But the other thing that I thought was really intriguing was like, okay, now we're off to the races with Mac. Now we're off to the races with other people. And it's just, we're going there and it's going to like, literally basically what it is. And this is why I love this portion of this whole thing with Jey Uso was like, we went through the ringer with Jey Uso, right, as a bad guy, and then we flipped it on its ear, and now he's a good guy, and he's got to go up the mountain again against people who aren't bad guys, but they have a right to be pissed.
And that's why this is good, is because a lot of the times when we talk about it all the time, it's like Randy – I'm just going to use two people that might not know. Randy Orton and John Cena just had this blood feud, but then Randy Orton turned babyface a month ago, and now they're tag teaming on Raw like there's no issue. Like, that shit happens all the time in wrestling. It's just like, I like that they're using it to be like, no. Jey Uso has been a fucking asshole to the entire roster for 3 to 4 years with the Bloodline, just dominating everyone. So, yeah, even though he seems like a better guy now, doesn't mean you're going to like them. Like, think like all that shit. You have a lot of making up to do. And like KO, you know, gave him a chance. Obviously, you had the fluky thing, whatever. But I'm loving the McIntyre stuff right now. I'm putting Drew McIntyre in the shine as we inch closer to that heel turn, baby. He's becoming more and more interesting to me. I love that backstage promo with him and Woods on Raw was super hot fire. Xavier Woods talking about how he's mad that he won the title in front of no fans and all that. Just like, it's like, that's perfect. Like, they're just continuing to fucking put those breadcrumbs there for McIntyre snapping and me being able to like force Nestle to do anything that I want him to do when that happens sooner rather than later. But I'm loving the character work from McIntyre. I thought him and Xavier Woods had a fucking banner in the ring as well. Yep. So big Schlotty Sword Boy is in my shine right now, baby. He is in the shine. So ain't no Brit shaming here, at least for me.
No, I loved, listen, I don't think Xavier Woods gets enough credit in general. I think that dude works incredibly hard. I think he's incredibly entertaining. And then I thought, like you said, he brought the best out of McIntyre. I like the idea of McIntyre not doing McRiddle, obvious for obvious reasons. We're not talking about Riddle.
McRiddle.
But it's still funny, but like clearly that's on hold or dead. So McIntyre goes back to this, you know, I wouldn't say whiny or just aggression and just
he's frustrated. He's frustrated. Annoyed with people.
Yeah,
like he's annoyed with the New Day. He's annoyed with Jey Uso. He's just annoyed with everyone except for his buddy Mick Riddle.
Even then, I think he would turn on him too. So I think
100%. That's what I mean. That's how that's how we get to a heel turn, Adam.
Right.
The thing you bet against last week, 1 week ago. How much do you?
By the way, can I just tell you, like, literally, I made that stupid remark on Tuesday, right? Wednesday morning, I sign into Facebook, and there's a giant feed of like internal list of people turning babyface and heel. Number one, Drew McIntyre. I sat there and I just grabbed my keyboard and I just was like,
I got a lot of ideas from people too. People have a lot of interesting ideas. I just like, you know, we got to find the right one.
I was like, I am an idiot. I am so fucking stupid. Like that's
trying to tell you that every week.
I know. Jesus Christ. But anyway, back on the fucking wheels. Can we get on this track here? Anything else that you really liked that was positive?
Yeah, I'm going to go to my former favorite show, Collision, for something that I really liked this week. You talked about one returning woman. I'm going to talk about another. And her vignette on Collision was super hot fire. Lana with the fucking perfect promo told us everything we need to know. I mean, it was literally, she took her husband's style of promo and did her own. And I was like, God, this is good. Like, this is good shit. And I'm watching this. I'm like, man, this is like when AEW does shit like this. I'm like, yes, I wish they did more of this for some of their other fucking shitty characters. But I mean, I'm all in on this. Whatever they're planning here with Lana and Miro, I'm all in. I fucking love this. The vignette looked cool. It made sense. It drove this forward. It's good to have Lana back on our TV. What did she call herself? CJ Perry? Is she using her real name? Yeah.
And honestly, I try not to get too down the rabbit hole here, but I kept thinking to myself, okay, is she just going to manage a bunch of meaty men to go against her husband? Because she said she's a meat lover. Might as well start with Hobbs, right?
That match was so awesome. Also awesome on NXT last week, if you haven't seen it, I texted Nestle because I know Von Wagner's his favorite, but Bron Breakker versus Von Wagner in the main event. Like, we had two of my favorite meat matches in a long time last week. It's just like, they're both must see. Hobbs and Miro. Breaker and fucking Vaughn. Oh my God. So much.
And Corbin on commentary putting him over too, which was
Corbin's so good. And Corbin's a man who knows his meats. If you watch his videos, that man, he deals with a lot of meats, you know?
So. The way he handles his meat is very clean, by the way. He wears gloves. He takes care of it. He sprinkles a little seasoning on it.
Season your meat. You don't want to go raw.
I know. Nobody wants to go raw dog. Nobody wants to go raw dog in it. But for me, it's more of a, I would want to be friends with him just so he could cook me some stuff.
Oh, 100%. Awesome. Yeah. Like eat steak with Corbin and drink some whiskey and bourbon. Fuck yeah. That
I've never had Wagyu because I'm poor, but that's beside the point. But
I've had Wagyu a few times now and it's.
My thing is it really worth the money? That would be my question. As a food connoisseur yourself, JC, is it worth it?
Well, let me put it this way. I've done it at the last like three times I went to fancy steakhouses, I've gotten some sort of Wagyu cut. So yeah, I guess it would be worth it. So you can find ones that aren't that much more, but it is better. It is better.
But will your palate know the first time it touches your tongue?
Oh yeah, you'll know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good meat talk. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, let's go to the Heat.
Get him off my TV. I can't believe we're already 23 minutes into this thing and we're going.
You don't have 8,000 fucking shows to recap.
No, I know, right? I will say this much. I am confused. Very confused. Shayna Baszler beats Ronda Rousey in probably the biggest match of her fucking career. And now she's fucking saddled. No offense, Guthrie, with the fucking flying chipmunk. And then, like, I was sitting here going, like, that's WWE in a nutshell. That's WWE in a nutshell. Because it's not bad enough that Chelsea had to fucking, you know, turn around and there's Piper and then, like, whatever, and tried to recruit Shayna. And I'm just, like, I'm watching this segment. I'm like, you know what's going to cool off Shayna? Putting her with Zoe. You know what's going to...
Putting her in a tag team.
Tag team in general is a bad idea. What are we doing? She just fucking, we know she can do a tag team thing. Do it after she's become a champion, for crying out loud. All I kept thinking was, why the fuck are we doing this to her? Why? Because we're worried that Rhea Ripley is going to look bad or something. Like, come on. Like, and I don't buy Zoe as a baby face. I just don't. She's got a great move. The problem is her move set is a baby face move set, but she is not a good baby face yet. She might be down the line and Guthrie's going to sit there and torch me and whatever. Guthrie, go ahead. But
she was only a good baby face when she first like kind of debuted, because she was like an underdog that no one heard of, that like felt like, oh yeah, it doesn't feel like she was meant to be here and she got here, which is cool. But it's one of those things, like, look, we shit on Zoe Stark every week on this program. But like her in-ring talent is undeniable. It's good. And like in terms of character work, since she turned heel in NXT, like it's been the best she's ever done. So yeah, to get away from it's weird. And her and Shayna, like with this mutual respect thing, it's just, I don't know. It's like, even if they become tag champs, it's like Shayna just finally got out of that relationship with Ronda Rousey. And we're like, okay, are they actually going to commit to her? Well, we got our answer this week. No, because a former Natalya tag team partner is now tagging with a future Natalya tag team partner. It's just like, I was just like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
The problem that made me, like, I'm all for authenticity. I'm all for realism and shit. Like, I think that makes everything better. But the minute they fucking had that match, I was just like, you got to be fucking shitting me. Then on top of it, at the end of their match, it goes something along the lines of like, what was it, last week they said something to each other where it was like, you gave me a better fight than Shayna. You gave me a better fight than Trish. And I was like, I just stop. Just fucking stop. And then this week she comes flying out to save Shayna. And all I could think about was like, once again, Chelsea, even if though it was a jobber alert, even though she was backstage looking like a fucking moron, I loved it. She maximized it again. And I kept thinking like, can we just build around this person? Can we build around the relationship or non-existent relationship with Piper? Because at least we know that Piper can say three words and Chelsea will make it work. Like, it just fucking works. I'm sorry, but I don't give a shit about Zoe Stark right now. I just don't. And Shayna Baszler, you piqued my interest, and now I know where you are in the pecking order. Now I'm told by people who write the show that I'm not supposed to care about you because we see what we see on TV, which means the people don't give a shit about you, which means we don't give a shit about you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why the Nia Jax timing, it was like you're building up Shayna and Zoe as potential challengers, and now it's like, oh, nope, okay. Well, maybe, I don't know. It's weird. And then like you have Becky doing this thing with Stratton going on right now in NXT, and it's just like a side thing. And it's just like, it's very odd. The Raw Women's Division continues to be odd, but Nia Jax coming back, weird that that's the positive takeaway we have. But
I'd love Chelsea more if she got rid of that dumb fucking hat.
But Doc, she needs the dumb hat because that's her heat. Like this, the stupid look when she comes out with her entrance with the dumbass hat and shit. Like it's one of those things. Like you need little things that piss people off. And it just, cause I don't like that either. I think she looks stupid, but it's like, again, it literally works for her character. It makes so much sense. It's like, it's little things. It's like, that's why, like I used to get an argument with people. Like people would be mad. Like why is Trick Williams with Carmelo Hayes such a waste? And like Trick Williams with Carmelo Hayes, cause Carmelo Hayes needed something to get him heat. And Trick Williams was the guy. It's just like, you got to look for these things when you have these characters that are especially heels that can become likable so quick because they're cool. You got to find them little heaters. And for Chelsea, it's like the little props, like the hat and like the Karens. Like it just, she needs those little tiny things. So you hating it, that means it's doing its job. So effective. So I'm glad you brought that up because it is. I don't think people realize that a lot of these things are on purpose.
Nestle, just remember, chin up, tits out, and watch for the shoe. She was almost going to get my comeback, but I gave it to her already. I still think, no joking aside, I think Toni Storm is the best thing in AEW, hands down.
I don't know if I'd say AEW, but on Dynamite every week, it might be true because that show fucking sucks.
When I said
the chat last week, all I remember is Christian Cage cutting promos about dead dads and Toni Storm throwing a shoe at Renee. Everything else in the show was fucking poop. MJF was okay, but
the one thing that I loved, it wasn't even the wording. It was like chin up, tits out, and then she goes and watch for the shoe. But then she does this like exaggerated like, and she comes off the screen
she's
literally like, I have never been a big Toni Storm person, but like she's been great in the ring. We know that. But this is so incredible to me. Like I thought
she's
it was
figured
just
it
like,
out. She's figured something out character wise.
Yes,
for sure.
It's like watching Audrey Hepburn in wrestling. Like, it's just like it fucking works. It's an old timey starlet and it works. 2-3 weeks in a row, I'm in. Like, if she keeps building momentum, I will be a fan. I really will. I'm starting to be a fan anyway. But yeah, this is the heat. Sorry, but chin up and tits out. What did you hate? I'm curious.
Well, so it's funny because we talk about how much we like the Jey Uso stuff, but on the other end of the Bloodline saga, I'm really not enjoying the Jimmy Uso stuff as much. And I think we're kind of, until Roman Reigns comes back to TV, it's just, I feel like we say this all the time with the Bloodline stuff. It's just like, I'm not that interested in Jimmy, like, being like, oh, I'm out. I like wanted to be out of the Bloodline. Oh, no, I never said I wanted to be out. And Solo being like, you can't leave. And hey, the Heyman, it's one of those. It's just, it feels like we're just fucking spinning a wheel. And it just like, it's, and we're not making a deal. We're just literally just spinning the wheel. And it just, it's like, okay, well, I don't know. And it's Jimmy by himself isn't as intriguing as Jey by himself, at least not yet. I don't think we're there yet. It just, I don't know. I just can't get into it. And I think it just, it's kind of the reason why SmackDown's one of the shows that I look forward to the least every week. Cause I get my Waller and Knight, which is great. And like a few other things and, you know, my EO and stuff like that. But overall, it's like the main thing continues. I don't think Jimmy Uso can carry a show like Jey Uso can. That's just my take so far. Maybe we'll get there, but it's not interesting to me. So that's my biggest heat. It's just like, I can't buy into this stuff. And it's such a big part of SmackDown. It kind of takes me out of the whole show.
Yeah. I think for me, I just look at SmackDown in general and I think, okay, like we had this whole thing with AJ and AJ wins, but then they roll him back in the ring and they look at Jimmy as if there's going to be some super group of something when it comes to the Bloodline and Judgment Day, which I think is a very bad idea, even if teasing it is a bad idea, because again, the closer you get to the vortex of the Bloodline, it feels like it's just gonna take everything away from the Judgment Day that they're building right now. So I want them further away. I actually like the idea of the Judgment Day and the Hurt Business or whatever you want to call that being like, oh, the Bloodline's in shambles, so let's keep it that way. Let's not try to make the Bloodline hold on to these other factions. You know what I mean? Like, let's keep it all separate, because I think the moment you get that mix, I'm done. Like, I don't think it works, and I don't need no super heel group. That will turn me off more than anything else in this world, I think. So that's just me.
Yeah, no, I don't. It's one of those things I feel like if they were ever going to do this, it would have had to been, I don't know. It's just, I'm not digging it either.
All right, let me go through some quick heats very quickly. We have Charlotte and Shotzi with the whatever who gives a shit against Damage Control. Asuka stakes claim to the championship. That's basically all I wrote because I don't give a fuck. Then later on we had EO say, I challenge you, bitch, I'm not afraid of you, whatever it is, what it is. We didn't really talk about the Heyman and, let me guess, Dana White got you another bet.
1-0. Yep.
All right, anyway, okay, great. Anyway, now that we can talk about the rest of the program.
I'm listening. You're
Heyman and Heyman and LA Knight. That wasn't bad, but I kind of was like, it was just like an odd kind of thing for me. Moving on, let's see down the line here. You talked about I did pop for Pretty Deadly, but that's not necessarily it. They were showing watching a TV. Moving on to Raw very quickly. The Miz beats Tozawa again in a over the jobber alert, not a jobber alert. Again, they're just prepping for Friday.
You need to win for Friday, yeah.
It just kind of seemed like whatever.
Raw was pretty whatever.
Honestly. I was scratching my head with this Imperium 6-man tag with Ciampa and Otis. And Gable, like, I was just like, okay, we're buying time. We're buying time. We're buying time. If Ciampa's the one that beats him, I'm going to be real fucking pissed. Real
Ciampa's,
fucking pissed.
I think, the bridge to kind of separate it so we don't get Gunther Gable fatigue. That's my take.
I mean, my problem would be is if he wins, then I'm going to be very upset because I feel like he's just not – he's in this weird purgatory for me from a fan's point of view where I don't know what to think of Ciampa. Like, he's just kind of there. He exists. Like, he's kind of after Bronson Reed. He's kind of after Shinsuke Nakamura. Well,
they broke up from the Miz, and they never paid it off because Miz has to put over LA Knight. So, just, yeah, it's a mess. And they've teased the John. It's just everything's a mess.
I didn't really like it. I mean, it is what it is, but moving on, whatever. Personally, I didn't love Cody Rhodes' promo because it didn't really amount to anything personally for me, but that's just – whatever.
They have nothing for him right now, so they just send him out there every week to fucking get pops because he's the reason why those fucking seats are filled.
No, I know, but the thing is like, can't we do something for him? Because when I saw Dom come out with JD, I was like, can we just like, even if it's a one-off match on Raw, even if it's a one-off match on pay-per-view again, like, can we just move on? Because I feel like we're at a point now where they're fucked. They're absolutely fucked because they're holding Cody in such a high regard and Kid Glove when it comes to picking his opponents. It drives me insane. It's like, this dude will go 100 miles an hour. He will work with anybody. He can make anybody look good. just fucking pluck somebody on Raw and let's go. Like, we're
The problem is like the two most obvious opponents for him are Gunther and Seth, and they can't have the fucking Cody train derailing those two, because those are like, Gunther's their big mega heel and Seth is supposed to be their big babyface champion. And like, it's, we all want to see Cody Seth, but they know they can't give it to us because Cody has to beat Seth again. If he loses, you know what I mean? So,
but are they going to have Jey Uso versus Cody, even though he brought him back? Like, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense because besides Sammy, Cody's the only one who seems to like Jey Uso.
Right. So. But it's like,
it's a fucking mess. It's a mess. I didn't really enjoy Raw all this week. I mostly like fucking, I went through it pretty quick because it just nothing. The Gunther Gable stuff, which I've loved it, that this was a down week, I think, for a lot of that. It felt like a lot of kicking the can down the road for a lot of shit. And a lot of it didn't grab my attention until the main event when they literally grabbed my attention with a return. So
I just think it was a poor executed plan in general. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it, unless you got a heat. We'll go.
One more piece of heat, and it's okay. More of a heat just because it's sad news. But Bryan Danielson pretty much says he has 1 year of wrestling left. I know for you that's going to be really sad because he's one of your all-time favorites. But for me too, because it's like, damn, man, if he really is done after a year, that means we have a finite amount of time for some super matches, and that means he's probably never coming back in the ring with WWE. So that's just heat for me just because, I mean, his reasons aren't heat. His reasons make sense. He promised his kids that this be the point and they get to a certain age that he'll be done. But as a wrestling fan, it's definitely a little sad because, I mean, it still feels like there's so much more he can do.
I personally have not enjoyed a lot of Bryan Danielson in AEW only because there's been some starts and stops, as well as the fact
that it's like AJ and WWE. They're both part-time, so there's no momentum.
There is no momentum. And I feel like we're at a point, and again, this is my biggest contention with AEW in general. We can talk about it all the time. Tony Khan is a great matchmaker, not a great booker. So he's just dream match, dream match, dream match, dream match. There's not a lot of character with Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson. And it feels like we're just at a point where it's like, well, here's a swan song. Let him fucking wrestle whoever he wants. That's fine. But I know that he knows how to get this stuff going. Like, his match against Ricky Starks with that strap match was great, but it had no lead up to it. It just was a fucking awesome match, right? Like, you know, and I'm, you know, we can have Kenny on here and tell us how great just having these random awesome dream matches are. But
we've already tried that. People didn't like it.
No, I know. But but like, my thought process of this entire thing is just like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing with him? Because if you're not going to treat this guy with some type of like grand thing for the last, you know, 6 months, which you haven't, if he doesn't want the world championship, fine. But like, you got to give him something on his way there, because for me, it's just like, I don't want to see technical masterpieces with this guy. That's not why I fell in love with him. Yes, he can wrestle, and yes, he's amazing. He's probably the best wrestler right now in wrestling.
Not anymore. I don't know if he is anymore.
But here's my thing, is like, he didn't get me hooked because of the wrestling. He got me hooked because of his character, because of his heart, because of his desire. You know what I mean? Like, his reaction to the crowd, the human being, like that, that's what I want. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, whether he's a heel or babyface, doesn't matter. Anybody can wrestle. Anybody can put fucking moves together. But he put something together that is unmatched. Unmatched. So for me, I'm aggravated because when I look at it like this, it's like, okay, that means Daniel Bryan's leaving, right? Chris Jericho is probably on his last hurrah very soon.
CM Punk, that guy can go for a long time because he's mostly character work anyways.
CM Punk.
Chris Jericho's not going anywhere because he'll at least be on commentary and probably managing people.
CM Punk is gone, right?
Well, he might be going to a better
The Elite are probably on their last legs too, the last couple of years.
They just re-signed. They're fine.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean shit. They can go backstage. They can, like,
they're fucking lame right now anyways. Those fucking guys, they need someone to fucking whip them into shape. They need more people like CM Punk to stand up to them because they're a bunch of children. I had enough with them. They're so good. But they're one of those people. It's like, you need to corral these. That's the problem with AEW. It's like, Bryan Danielson, it's like, yeah, I respect the hell of them too, but doesn't mean you should let them do whatever you want. Like, it's one of those things, like, you need people in creative to be able to have some control over these people, these individuals, because that's the problem. They all do it. It's like Moxley, like, oh, Mox, what do you want to fight this week? Oh, I want to be international champion because I want to be able to fight like every week, like Orange Cassidy, and just pick whoever I want. Like, it's fine. It's like, whatever. But it's like, it's too much power. It's too much power. These people get to do whatever they want, and it makes the show worse. I know that, like you said, there are the Kennys out there that love it, but it just, that's why I hate fucking Dynamite. It's such a bad show. And that's why I'm so sad about Collision, goddammit.
Because Collision will now become Dynamite 2.0.
Yeah, because there's like the like everyone's gonna be showing up. It's gonna, that's the thing. We already saw it this week. It's like there's something that happened on Wednesday, they're the same thing on Saturday. Luckily, there's still a few things unique, so hopefully they keep it that way. But and FTR's kind of made a point being like, look it, we're gonna kind of try to step up here and be the main event every week and have good matches. So at least it's something unique to it, but it's just like it's, I don't know. I'm very, very distraught still about the death of Collision.
Okay. That's fair. Should we get hopeful?
Yeah, because we're talking about AEW, so still, and my hope. And I'm going to try to be a little hopeful because there is something. You mentioned Toni Storm being one of the best characters in AEW right now. There's someone else, and I never thought I would say these words, ever in a million years. But Roderick motherfucking Strong and his goddamn neck brace have been just getting better and better and better every week. This guy, and look, I kind of talked about it at the end of the NXT run. Him and Diamond Mind, he was starting to kind of get this type of character and it was starting to get good, but then his contract ended up and he just whoop, see ya. So it was like he kind of laid the groundwork, but you know, obviously his start in AEW was just like, oh, this is typical. Here he comes, just comes in. I'm cold friends, you have random matches. But then we started the characters and we were talking about for the show, him going, Adam, just getting mad and screaming. And the neck brace thing for me always gets it. Anytime you have a heel, it's like Cody with the mask. It's like, anytime you have a heel with some sort of prop or disfiguration or something, it always works. Like what I loved about his tournament match last week is the minute the match ends, he gets the win. He just wrestled a fucking 25-minute match, immediately screaming to get the neck brace back on. It just, this shit's good. So my hope about Roddy Strong WrestleMania is, look, and I know they're setting up MJF Samoa Joe, but I think they can find a way that MJF Samoa Joe makes more sense for like maybe their next pay-per-view. Roddy Strong makes more sense for a random Dynamite big show. And I think it just with the Adam Cole stuff, I want it. I want Roderick Strong to beat Samoa Joe on Wednesday, win this fucking whatever Grand Slam title tournament, whatever the fuck stupid name Tony Khan gave it. I want Roderick Strong to win it. I want him to beat MJF's opponent at Grand Slam. I'm not going to come on here and say that I want him to beat MJF, but I just like this iron is hot. It is hot and it makes sense. The Adam Cole stuff and the MJF stuff, it all makes sense. And you can kick the Samoa Joe thing down the line, it'll be fine. But man, I need this. I have a feeling Samoa Joe is probably going to win it because I don't know how you book it. But that's why it's my hope, man. I just need Roderick Strong to win this tournament by hook, by crook, some way, somehow. I need to see him against MJF. And this character's good. So hashtag JC knows, hashtag JC's hopes come true. I'm fucking hoping for fucking Roderick goddamn Strong to be a number one contender for the world championship. What the fuck are we living in right now?
I don't know. You and I both fucking don't like the guy, but man, there's no denying the guy is just special right now. And the whole thing with like neck strong on the shirt and like the kingdom behind him, just it's working. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Mike Bennett, so to see him on my TV always makes me happy. I could do out without Taven, but that's just beside the point. But those three together are a package deal. And then like the idea of like Adam Cole eventually turning on them and becoming a foursome, so Adam Cole turning on MJF and becoming a foursome with that, to me is like, that's not my hope, but like I could see that happening, in which Roddy and, you know, Adam Cole befriend each other again, and then they turn on MJF and it's like this super babyface thing for, you know, MJF, where he's like, I lost my friend, my only friend. Like, you could see it happening, and then like them all laughing and shit. But I, like you said, I don't see him losing that championship before the bidding war of 2024 happening. So I don't know if January is when his contract up is, but he made it. I don't know.
I think either way, it's a storyline at this point, because I think this contract, he probably stays with AEW. It's the next contract they have to worry about him jumping ship, I think, personally.
Yeah.
Because I just think he's the face of this company right now. So there's no way, like, I don't think he should want to leave and they should want him to leave yet. But then the contract after this one, that's when it gets interesting.
Fair enough. My hope is actually going to probably happen in maybe an hour or so from when we're recording this. I am hoping for Becky Lynch to become the NXT Women's Champion tonight. And here's why. I feel like Tiffany Stratton's been doing a great job. She's got a great gimmick, but she's got a lot left to learn. She's got a lot left to learn. I'm a big
Tiffany Stratton fan, but I think her run's been pretty bad. Her promos have really – I think she's really exposed herself of not being ready in that department.
Okay, well, then this adds to the fire of what I'm saying here, is that I think Becky Lynch can help a lot of these women get ready. And I think the other thing, too, is Becky Lynch, as we needed to get away from Trish, You can keep Becky on Raw for doing not random shit, I guess, if you want, or you can parade around with the NXT championship, make her feel like a big fucking deal. But I think that NXT's women's division is kind of in this weird pattern right now. When I was like, I forgot who Tiffany Stratton faced last week. Who it was? Fallon. Yeah. Okay. I when I saw that, I went, this girl's not fucking ready. That's what it, like my immediate thought was, is this the best we have right now? Or are we just holding up?
They're just giving her some W's, you know?
No, I know. It's just, it was bad. But anyway, having Becky Lynch down there, having Becky Lynch help these women out and show them not only how to do it well, but also get to a place. She's the current model of, if you're not picked by the WWE, how to still get over and still become a big fucking deal. And I think a lot of those women in that locker room are on the chopping block, in my opinion, in NXT, where there's people who you can pluck and go, okay, Tiffany Stratton, we know, Roxanne Perez, Cora Jade clearly got inflated a little bit, so she's clearly all right. But then
she
there's
was
like
already all right before
Fallon
that.
Fallon Henley, in my opinion, has got star quality, but there's another tier of people that I'm like, you could cut them tomorrow and nobody would notice, because I think that's the problem. And I think Becky Lynch staying away from Raw, keeping her away from Rhea Ripley till probably, I don't know. I don't think she'll dip.
That's
down
the
there.
WrestleMania match. I think is Rhea Becky at this point.
But my problem is you should at least keep Rhea and Becky interaction wise as far away from each other as you possibly can. If they could stretch this out from September to December, maybe, and have her down there as the champion for a little bit, and then have her lose at a PLE to somebody that's ready, I think that's wonderful, because I think Becky Lynch will help not only. You know, I think they have this whole thing where they want better ratings. They want better ratings with the Baron Corbins and these other people who are coming down.
Dom's been the rating booster for them. Their highest shows have been with Dom Mysterio. That's
so I'm just thinking
champ.
Becky Lynch could make a huge splash here with them. And again, not that I'm watching NXT every week. I watch, I read TJ's article because TJ tells me what to watch essentially. And I go back and watch it. But I think, as we've been difficult, especially me, I've been really hard on Becky Lynch, especially with that god-awful leg drop and the feud with Trish. But to me, she's never won the NXT championship. She was a staple in NXT.
That's what it's about.
It's the last stone
it's
that's
a check
unturned.
Mark for her.
Yeah. And
same
I think
reason
it works.
Why, like, it's just a check mark for her. And that's why for me, like, I don't really want it that much, because it feels like it's just a check mark. I wish it felt more of like it was a thing. And because that's my thing right now. It's just like, I'm fine with her getting the opportunity to do that at some point. Just it doesn't feel like now. I don't know. It's one of those, it's a weird thing. And also like Stratton, just her reign hasn't been good, but she's learning as she goes. Like there are improvements here and there. So I don't know. I just thought the timing of it was a little weird, but they've had a lot of those weird things, because Rhea's been down there a lot and she's been kind of flirting with my girl Lyra. But they haven't really paid that off yet. So it's besides like the mixed tag match at the big show, but I don't know. I think it's one of those things. Like, I feel like if it happens, it might not be tonight, because I feel like tonight feels like a crook, some sort of hook by crook. And then maybe they do a rematch. And I think you're right. I think at some point that Becky is winning it, but I don't know. Still don't love it.
Burt's cards. I'm on the other account, but she ran to NXT when she heard Nia's footsteps. Doesn't want to get smooshed.
Nestle led the show with Nia Jax today, Burt, in the shine. Let me just put it that way. So,
go back Nestle and listen Island. To it. It was good. It was good. I swear to God, go back and listen to it. You'll enjoy it. I swear.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Becky saw Nia Jax come back and she's like, fuck, I'm going to NXT.
Exactly. I'm not like most girls. So, you know, it is what it is. But that there's my hope. Hashtag Nestle knows. Hashtag Nestle's hopes come true. Hashtag everybody loves Nestle. On
Those
that note.
All not recognizable hashtags for this podcast. I'm sorry you guys had to listen to that.
That was a good hope.
Don't call it a comeback. The real return in wrestling this week for the woman was Jade Cargill.
Cargill!
Saturday Collision. This is another reason why I was like, okay, Collision, we had some hope this week. We had the Lana promo. We had my girl Jade. She returned. She beats up the Jobber Sisters to save Statlander, but then gave Statlander a Jaded anyways, so it appears we will be getting the rematch. But it's nice to see Jade back on our TV. She got some well-deserved time off after one of the most dominant runs of all time, but she's a fucking stud. She has more star power than 90% of that locker room, probably 99% of that locker room. And it's so good to have her back, because she is a super stud. I'm happy to see her, and I look forward to her jading more bitches all over the country, baby. So, Jade Cargill, you get my comeback.
99 problems, but a Jade ain't one. Cargill, every time I hear Cargill, it just makes me laugh. It's what a terrible ass. Just Jade, just fucking Jade, please.
My comeback goes to Austin Theory. If you go back and you watch what he did, A Town Down style, especially with Grayson Waller on commentary, I thought that made that match even better. With that whole thing of, I actually like them as a tag team because I think it helps both of them.
They're intriguing. Ways. I think it helps Theory a lot too.
You know,
he needs something.
And he needs something. Yeah, and I think Waller, they're slow playing him very much so. But this is the thing. Like, you people, you know, gave a lot of shit to Austin Theory, saying like, oh, okay, like, you know, he's dead in the water. His character sucks. You know, all this other thing. But just from a wrestling standpoint, if you go back and you watch what he did on Friday night, he was bumping and feeding. What I mean by that was he was getting off his ass after clothesline, another clothesline. He was feeding for the next move. He was working his ass off. He was doing a lot of great stuff inside the ring. His timing is wonderful. And he made LA Knight look fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important part is, like, you know, these are the things that people forget, but these are the things that not every person remembers because they're not thinking about these things. But let's just say, for instance, like, we took Friday and we had LA Knight versus Austin Theory. Austin Theory made LA Knight incredibly, just incredible. It just made him look great. And I think that's what Austin Theory can do. Now, if you think about the trajectory of LA Knight, once he becomes world champion, United States champion, whatever you want to get him to, whatever his trajectory will be, once he's at that point, he's going to go, give me Theory, because I know Theory will make me good, make me better, help me. You know, so those are the things that people don't forget when they're in that moment. So I think for me, it's an important moment to call out Austin Theory here. And remember, this guy is working his ass off and having a great attitude, even though he lost and everybody was saying he was a dead, you know, duck in water here. I don't think that's the case. The guy he's still like 26 years old, guys.
Plus, like, people are fucking stupid with this shit. Cause it's just like, Austin Theory is still one of the future pillars of this company. That was never a thing. It's just, was his US title run good? No. Was it all his fault? Some of it was, some of it wasn't, but it's just like, I'm glad, like, this is a good comeback because Austin Theory reminded you, like, yeah, he's this fucking good, man. And you're right. He's always going to be someone that has a relevant point in this company, because even if he's not at the top of the card, he's the perfect Dolph Ziggler type where he's going to make whoever he's wrestling look like a million fucking bucks. He's a great heel. So yeah, this was one of your better comebacks in a long time, WrestleMania, because the man deserves it. And I think people have been the fucking forgotten a little bit how good Austin goddamn Theory is. And I need to get through the thick skull. This kid ain't going anywhere. A-Town down.
I actually popped very hard on commentary when they're like, our new tag team name is A-Town Down Under.
It's good. They're going to have some magic together.
They are.
Grayson is just like a next level. He had a tweet today. I sent it to before we went on the show. It pretty much was like the opposite of the motivational tweets that like John Cena sent out. It was like, he's like, people have to remember that you're never, ever going to accomplish your dreams. No matter what you're going to do, you're going to fail. Just like that type of message. And I'm like, this is why this kid is just so good, because it's all effortless for him. He doesn't have to try. And he's just the biggest asshole in the room. It's a gift, man. It is a gift. And God, he's legit one of my favorites. Has been for a while, but it's just like, I'm so glad that it is succeeding on the main stage as well as it did in NXT.
All right. We're the big old finish.
Big old finish, baby. So we're going to start on SmackDown this Friday. Speaking of Grayson Waller, there will be yet another Grayson Waller effect, this time featuring John Cena.
This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been waiting for, because, you know, John doesn't have a lot of people that can go toe-to-toe with him in terms of verbal spats. And I think, I'm assuming John Cena comes out on top because he always does, but I think where there's going to be
there's going to be
one or two lines in here where Grayson Waller is going to hit him with something. We're going to go, that was a good fucking line. You know what I mean? Here's the thing. He doesn't need to come out looking like a fucking million bucks in here, because the heel should always look like he's got egg on his face, or she's got egg on her face. But that's the point. And if he gets one good barb in there, I'm happy. That's all I want from this entire thing. So for me, I'm excited for it. This is my must-see TV right here. That could be 10 to 20 minutes.
I am excited for that. I am also excited for the rematch between LA Knight and The Miz, just in terms of storytelling, because I think that's really where these two succeed. We know it's not going to be a Matt Classic. The pay-per-view wasn't a Matt Classic. This one probably isn't going to have the time that match had, but I think this is the one. This is like for the cherry on top for LA Knight to give him that definitive win over The Miz so they can both move on to their next things. But
Jesus.
I hate burping on podcasts, so I apologize. But we have the Grayson Waller effect and LA Knight and The Miz. That's all I see for SmackDown so far.
Okay, moving on.
We go to Monday Night Raw before we head to the other company. We have Drew McIntyre versus Jey Uso one-on-one. I'm really interested in that one. And then we have a match that we've seen about 30 times, Nakamura versus Ricochet.
I don't like this at all. I don't think it helps Ricochet. I think Ricochet did a great job with the Logan Paul stuff, but now I'm just like, this guy is just swimming upstream.
They just need a baby face for Nakamura to beat so he looks strong when he faces Seth. That's literally what it is.
Yes! Another one. All right, there it is.
Colostry by sub. Hit the prop and the parlay, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
I love that
she's a Brazilian. She has like dyed red hair, but it's like braided. She looks like a fucking badass stud. Oh,
you should just do a podcast on this shit. Forget this podcast.
Reacting to winning bets. Yeah. Oh, yeah, great. I love Tuesday nights. I get to yell at you and win bets.
Yeah, it couldn't get any worse unless, you know. Okay, enough. Focus. We're almost done. You can do that. You can literally.
But yeah, you can talk about Raw. Talk about Raw.
You just said that trainer is hot. That's all you. I want to see it, but it's fine. Whatever. For me, I am excited with the Mac and Jay thing. I think Jay needs to win though. I don't think that's possible though.
Because
can Mac lose at this point?
I would love Jay to win by DQ or something. Mac just loses control on him or something. You know, continue to kind of propel that heel turn that's coming.
Yeah. Fuck yourself. The other stuff.
Ricochet, which you were on. You notice we didn't talk about it at all, Seth and Shinsuke, because it's not even worth talking about in the heat. So fucking boring. Don't care. Get that shit out of my face. But we go to AEW where we have a Dynamite show. We talked about it earlier in my hope. The Grand Slam final. They like hotshotted this tournament. Roddy Strong takes on Samoa Joe. My heart wants Roddy, but my brain says Samoa.
So there was a line that happened. This is what I hate about AEW. They fucking paraded out Samoa Joe and MJF. So you know that's a thing. Like, you just know that's a thing. They couldn't just organically have him win the championship, the tournament, and then they start the fucking program. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I would have wanted. But they do it fucking backwards every goddamn time. Every single time. They cannot help themselves. But here's the thing. He had that one line about, like, oh, you know, the last time I was, you know, doing blah, 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 I was the star on the other company's network. And all I could think about was MJF should have jumped right in and be like, yeah, you might have been Sweet Tooth, but you weren't good enough to act in it as they had a voiceover actor instead of your sorry fat ass. Like, that's what he fucking should have said. But they didn't do it. And I was like, this is fucking stupid. Like, I get the premise of the pushing in the Brooklyn and all that shit. And of course, MJF is going to win against Samoa Joe. I don't see Samoa Joe winning. I don't see MJF losing. So it's just like, I don't give a shit.
I need the Roddy Strong pit stop.
Right.
I'm way more interested in that.
And we don't think Roddy's going to win. But
God, I hope he does. I don't know how. I just want him to so bad.
There's a case to be made for what if. We don't get the what if with Samoa Joe. And that's what good wrestling is. When you sit there and you go, oh shit, there's a chance. There's no chance for Samoa Joe. No chance. Sorry.
I agree. You know what else is pissing me off on Dynamite? We have an international championship match, John Moxley versus Big Bill. Who cares?
Anytime I hear Big Bill, it makes me think of Bill and Bob's roast beef. That's it. Go to Big Bill. He's got some roast beef. That's it.
We have a number one contenders match for Saraya's AEW Women's World Championship. It is the former champions, Hikaru Shida, Britt Baker, Nyla Rose, and Toni Storm. I mean, Toni Storm makes the most sense because that's the story, but I have a feeling that Shida wins this and the Toni Storm is more of a long-term thing. That's my prediction.
As long as it's not Britt Baker. I don't think Britt Baker, leave her alone for a while. Like, you've got other people.
How about you have a secondary women's feud? How about that?
Yeah.
Because Britt Baker's a big enough star where she could help some of these other people. But they just don't. They're just incapable. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll just do fatal four-ways all the time because, you know, we'll just jam in. Fucking terrible.
Hold on. So real quick. It's very bad to me because you don't get anybody any screen time to do anything in a fatal four. So that's just – I hate it.
I agree. You know who also needs more screen time? Anna Jay. Get her back on my TV, Tony, you fucking – snow sniffing son of a bitch. And then we have what is my hashtag, my main event on Dynamite, only because it rhymes. Hangman Adam Page taking on Brian Cage. We have the Cage and Page match once again. Came out of nowhere, but I mean, I just like it because it rhymes. So
I could not believe that Swerve called him fat, like, and basically said you had a fat contract and you've been just sailing.
Ever since Hangman Page had his little tiffy with CM Punk, I feel like he's been stamping it. He has been mailing it in.
I agree with
this
you.
This guy was such a great champion. What happened?
Saddled.
Yeah. Saddled. Why? He joined back up with the Elite. They're too fucking comfortable. They need someone to whoosh, crack the whip on them. It ain't fucking Cocaine Cowboy.
I just think Swerve deserves something at Swerve's this point.
Great. Yeah.
He is so fun. So much fun to hate. He's great.
If Christian wasn't the TNT champion, I'd say Swerve would be a great pick.
You could make him international champion.
Christian Cage is doing God's work right now.
How's every father doing? Like, I love it. I love it. All right, anything else?
Say hi to your mom for me. Yeah, on Rampage, I don't fucking know. But Collision, we do know the main event. I think it's the main event. FTR is starting their open challenges. Here's another thing. Sidebar. You know what I fucking hate about AEW the most? They call them open goddamn challenges, and they're never a surprise because 2 seconds later, some dildo in a promo is like, I'm going to answer the open challenge. Well, this one got spoiled too. 5 minutes after FTR said they want to do open challenges every week, it's FTR versus the Iron Savages, a Ring of Honor tag team. It's like, whatever, great. But you know what's cool about open challenges? When I don't know who it's going to be, so there's fucking anticipation. So I watch, and then I'm either excited by who the random person is or let down who it is. But either way, you got me there. When you tell me what it is, it's like, the Iron Savages, I don't really know them that well. I like FTR. Maybe they'll give it a chance, but maybe I won't if I'm busy. But if it was a goddamn open challenge and you didn't know who it was, you know what? I'd be fucking tuning it in. It's fucking terrible. Stop blowing your loads constantly and fucking shoving shit up your nose and shooting it out your ass, you dumb fuck. Figure it out. Pisses me off. Sorry, wow. I got way too fired up for that. But I'm just like, it's sometimes when I talk about AEW, I get so mad because there's so many pieces of things that are so fucking good, but it's surrounded by so many piles of heaping fucking smelly goddamn shit, and it's all self-inflicted. Simple fixes, but they just can't figure it out. I want to fucking shake that fucking snowman and fucking shake it all out and wake them up. Stop fucking sucking everyone fucking member and figure it out. Oh, frustrates me.
That might be my favorite rant in recent history. It really was.
Fires me up. There's so much potential. And there's
I agree.
Little pieces, but they always fucking blow it.
I get so angry when I watch Dynamite. I piss through wrestling.
I hate that show so much.
But I when I watch Dynamite, I can get an entire Dynamite. I could start at 9:30. I'd still be done by 10.
Yeah, because you just watch the promos.
Yeah.
The matches are so pointless.
Yeah.
It's one of those. If I was live, I'd love it. It's a great show to go to live because it's fucking boom, nonstop boom, boom spots. Like, that's fantastic for live wrestling. But my TV wrestling, I need a little more.
Yep.
I need a little more if you want me to invest the time. You know what show takes me the longest to watch every week? It's not the 3-hour show. It's not an AEW show. It's fucking NXT because there's literally nothing to fast forward. Because every single thing has a fucking purpose. In matches, you may think they're pointless, but they give you something. They give you something every time. It's like, I literally can't fast forward the show. That's why sometimes I'm like, I can't watch NXT today. I don't have the time. I have to wait till Thursday because I need to have the time to watch it. That's Whereas fair. Like Dynamite, it's like, oh yeah, like you said, I'll start at 9:30. I'll fucking catch up to the main event. It's like, Christ, what are we doing?
Yeah. And honestly, all I have to do with Dynamite is go to my Twitter feed.
Oh, that's it. Just the nonstop virginity on the feed.
Just watch all the videos and the GIFs. That's all you'd have to watch. You don't even have to know what's going on because they just tell you. There's no reason to tune into the actual program. That's it.
Except for Christian Cage.
Sure.
I love him so much. God, I could do a whole podcast on how great Christian is.
Yeah, I know. And it would be a lot of one-sidedness on your part, I'm sure.
But that's fine. Fucking one of the greatest, most underrated wrestlers of all time. Like, okay. If you made me make a list, he would be near the top because it's like the first name. It's come to my head forever. It's always been that way because he was always overshadowed by your favorite Edge.
Just because I share a name, that's the only thing we got in common. That's about it. That is about it.
Ugh.
On that note, I think we're good. You ready to head out of here?
Yeah, let's get out.
All right. On that note, thank you for listening to the Jobber Knocker podcast and watching us, of course. We will be back next week with more Jobberknockery.
Say hi to your mom for me.